Welcome to Three in the Box. This is the Meat Beast, and I'm sitting here with, in the red cap and the wild logo on the face, to my right is Aaron.
Hello.
And in the black cap with the GNP logo facing to the Dexter is Kenny.
Good evening.
And behind me, wearing no cap at all, of course, is our producer, Jive.
Good evening, folks.
And
it's going to be one of those shows.
It's going to be one of those shows. You know, of course, in honor of the playoffs, we are drinking Molson Canadian now.
We're awfully cheery for a loss last night, though.
Hey, first we should finish up with the regulation games and then get on to the playoff game.
Well, I'm glad that the Wild finally finished up with the regulation games, too, because it was getting ugly towards the end.
True, and we'll get all that covered and more as we banter through this episode. So, where should we kick off? Oh, yes, the Wild, of course, on the 26th of April, did call up Carson McMillan, and before his jersey finished getting lettered, he was already reassigned back down to Houston.
Whoops.
Whoops.
It's my turn!
Mom, Dad! Never mind.
You can cancel your plane tickets. I'm not playing.
All right. And then, of course, like I said, we did have the two last games of the regular season last week. The first one was against the Oilers. Aaron, would you like to...
Yeah, so the Wild needed 2 points to clinch a playoff spot. So all they needed was a win against Edmonton, and they're in. Did they do that? No.
Not even close.
They get destroyed 6-1. At one point, they were up 6-0. There was a garbage time goal by Koivu in the waning minutes of the game. It was just really bad.
Our goalie cannot stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
But hey, it gave Harding a chance to get onto the ice for a second and get some NHL time before.
And get some goals against.
Yeah,
true.
Backstrom gives up 3 goals on 5 shots.
5 shots. That's the part that drove me batty. 5 shots.
And they weren't even like tricky goals where, you know, they were very pedestrian shots that he should have stopped. Harding fares a little bit better in relief, getting stopping 9 of 12, but still gives up another 3 goals.
So they gave up 6 goals on 17 shots.
Yeah, not good.
Ouch.
This does not bode well.
Nope.
And in the waning minutes of the game, there was concern that Rupp was going to get a suspension because third man in, basically, I think it was Potter from Edmonton took a run at Parisi, and Konopka and Rupp took offense to this. And
as they rightfully should.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's a garbage time game. The Wild are not going to catch the Oilers at that point. You have no reason to be running our star player unless you're just trying to show him up or hurt someone, you know?
Well, and that ended up resulting, of course, in Konopka and Rupp both getting 2-minute roughing penalties and 10-minute game misconducts, the roughing served by Setoguchi and Bouchard, respectively.
Tucker, competitive violent, that's why you're here!
Exactly!
Nice.
So, yeah, they lose, and, you know, they got to pray that either Columbus loses their last game or the Wild can win their last game.
Which, of course.
So, yeah, that brings us into Saturday, Wild's final game of the season. But Veju Zucker called up, and Jake Dowell reassigned to Houston previous to the game.
Yeah, Dowell had a really terrible game in Edmonton, or against Edmonton. And, you know, he didn't really belong here. Zucker, they needed some speed because they looked dead on their heels against Edmonton.
Veju just... You know, veteran player. Veteran,
well, and at that point, it even looked like as long as the Wild won their next game, they were getting into the playoffs, but it was a given that they'd be playing the Blackhawks at that point. And
it wasn't totally, actually.
It was
still
pretty close,
though. It still depended on what Columbus did.
No, it still depended on what Detroit did.
Detroit.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, though, in everybody's minds that I had been talking to and dealing with that day that the Wild were only going to be able to get the 8th seed.
It was going to be tough odds. It was going to take them winning and, I believe, Detroit losing.
Yeah.
In order for that
to
happen.
To get the 7th instead of the 8th.
Do you remember what you said their odds were of not making the playoffs, Aaron?
At what point?
I think in last week's show.
I think it was like 97.6% chance.
It was really high.
Yeah.
And they did come awfully close there.
They certainly wanted to test it, that's for sure.
Right.
They wanted to make sure they were that 3% margin. But, hey, they managed to stay on the right side of that percentage. And then they came back and played the Avalanche and finally clinched that spot. Zucker coming back up might have been to make sure there was some more speed for the Blackhawks. That's all I was trying to get at there initially. But 3-1 against the Avalanche, clinching their spot. First time in the playoffs in 5 years. And something for us to look a little more like the team we want to see going into the playoffs.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
Granted, it was against Colorado, worst in the West.
Were they worse in the NHL?
They might have been worse.
I think
they
were worst overall. But.
And as actually just a side note with the Avalanche, they actually won the ping pong ball lottery and they're getting first pick in this next draft.
Wow!
So
they had the most balls in the pot.
You are one pathetic loser.
Florida was worse than them. Florida got 36 points total. Colorado got 39.
Wow.
So it pays to lose, I guess.
Wow.
I think that's why Florida fired their head coach, too.
And so did Colorado.
And
Joe Sack was out.
Tampa Bay, maybe, also?
They did a little earlier. I think that the Avs waited at least till the end of the season.
How many coaches has Tampa Bay gone through in the past couple of seasons now?
Bunch.
Yeah. All right.
Well, on a quick breakdown of the game, of course, Parisi scored a goal in the first. Setoguchi got the goal in the second, and Pierre-Marc Bouchard getting a goal in the third, making it a nice round, just one goal a period.
PMB one was an empty netter, if I remember correctly, with seconds left.
Yeah, so. You're absolutely right. At that point, I was.
It was done, and the Avs were just hoping for something to happen. And
I was starting work at that point. Admittedly, there was a TV with the game on, but I did forget to notice that was an empty net goal.
But that was the nail in the coffin for the Avalanche and the Wild win.
And make it to the playoffs. Yay!
So then with that, we got to prepare for the playoffs. We're facing the Blackhawks. We knew that once we won. Actually, we knew before the game was over that if we won, we'd be playing the Blackhawks because Detroit had won their last game against.
Which would have been, was that Friday or was that a Saturday?
That was Saturday as well. It was a little bit earlier, though. I think it was an hour or two earlier. We didn't know by game time, but we knew during the game. And Columbus lost as well, or won as well, but the Wild owned the tiebreaker.
But they still needed the win.
Yes. Well, they needed to win if Columbus won, and Columbus won, so Wild won, and hey, playoffs.
Yay.
And then, so to prepare for the playoffs, the Wild called Marco Scandella, reassigning Stefan Vaiu to Houston. I don't know. I think part of the problem is Yo or Fletcher has just been, we've been cycling through D-men, and we haven't had really consistent play.
That's been something I've heard a lot, is that the D, there's not enough depth at D.
Yeah.
And it shows when you look at, I mean, obviously Sutter is such a better player that he is going to get more ice time.
Oh, yeah.
But he's...
He can't play the whole game.
Yeah. And he's getting real close to playing the whole game.
Yeah. And well, it's like, beyond him, you got Brodin, who's obviously playing out of his mind.
Yeah.
And I think Spurgeon is a good, solid third guy. But beyond that, Stoner has his moments. Where he looks okay. Falk has been up and down quality-wise. Gilbert, don't even get me started about...
We know your opinion on Gilbert.
Don't even get me started about Gilbert. But beyond that, it's been a rotating chair on the sixth spot.
Well, especially when you look at the playoff experience of the defenseman.
Non-existent.
You've got Suter with 39 games. The defense is a whole... has 39 games worth of experience in the playoffs.
Clark.
It's all Suter.
Clark also has a handful of games, but he was scratched last night.
There we go.
Also going into last night's game, the total goals, was it goals or points for the D, literally for all six guys, it went 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
In the season totals.
Season totals.
Oh, ow. Nerds!
Yeah. Okay.
So basically, and that Fitzpot, like you said, we get that Clark also filtering in there, and Prosser. So,
oh, wow, yeah, there's a name I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, because he's been scratched a lot, you know. So,
I assumed he was injured or sent down.
No. So Scandella brought up, hopefully to bolster this D line that's been struggling.
And yeah, that brings us into the last day of April, and.
And first game of the playoffs for the Wild again. Chicago in Chicago. Lots of stuff in that game. They ended up losing 2-1 in overtime. But that score is actually fairly indicative of how the play was, too.
It was a really close game.
Very tight game. Both teams played excellent hockey. Literally, all three goals that were scored were not garbage goals. They were pretty goals, and they all took talent. The Wild's goal coming from Clutterbuck.
Yep.
His
first playoff game.
First playoff.
Which actually kind of blew my mind because he's been around for so long.
Yeah.
I didn't even think that he has never played with.
I think he came in right after the Wild did their playoff.
Yeah.
A couple of years of playoff runs.
His first year was Lemaire's last year.
Yep. So he was one of nine Wild players to be making their playoff debut, alongside Kyle Brodziak, Charlie Coyle, Clayton Stoner, Tom Gilbert, Jason Zucker, Jared Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, and Martin Scandella.
Marco.
Bolo. Shut up!
So, I guess the biggest news of the night, Backstrom going off with 4 minutes left in warm-ups with a lower body injury.
Yeah, it looked like he was stretching out in the crease, and it looked like he tweaked something. I don't know if it was a hammy or groin or
that
what.
So violent and dangerous.
So Harding ended up having to play with no backup goalie at all.
Nope.
He got props from people all over the country, including a lot of Blackhawks players, former teammates, current teammates.
Hackett tweeted about giving props for Hards and saying he's one of the nicest guys.
A lot of people giving Harding props for coming in, not expecting the play.
And the rule was is that the Wild could have had an emergency goalie in that situation, but they would have had to find someone to play goal.
Right.
And they could have only come in a matter of injury to Harding.
Can Suter play goalie?
They actually.
Well, the joke was Falk.
Falk was, but Falk was scratched.
Falk was scratched.
So there's no way he could have been the backup goalie. So.
Well, he could have been called as the emergency at that point.
No.
Have?
Nope.
No, because he's already listed as a healthy scratch.
Yep.
Oh, ouch. I thought with the emergency goalie they could.
Nope.
Nope, they'd have to go find some scrub in the suburbs of Chicago or something, you know.
Yeah, like you really want a Chicagoan playing backup goalie for you.
Hey.
Although, there's a lot of transplants in Chicago.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, there's a decent amount of Wild sweaters in the crowd last night.
You go to find someone in Wisconsin or something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and Harding, to his credit, didn't come back up till he was ready to come back.
Right. But all it takes is a stretch and bam, he's hurt. And that's all it
but
took.
But he wasn't hurt.
That's all it took for
it
Backstrom.
Well, for yeah, true, yeah,
you know, it's
with
like,
no backup, playing without a net, as it were,
right?
So yeah, no backs from that game. Pommaville's still out that game.
Yeah, he was out for the morning skate, and he said that he was having soreness. I don't know if that meant he was having dizziness or head stuff. It wasn't clear what was sore or what wasn't right. Makes me a little worried that for his availability on Friday. I guess we'll have to see.
So, yeah, Kanapka skated in his place. Some pretty interesting game highlights, though. And this just goes to show, too, like, some of the dedication that these guys have. Ryan Suter, with the overtime, which I think went, 18 minutes, 18 and a half minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
Played 41-08.
Yep, just shy of his record, which is, 42 and just a couple seconds.
The next closest player from both benches obviously besides the goalies, as Aaron had mentioned to me last night, getting more time on ice than anybody, was Jonas Brodin with 34-20. Brodin had a killer game also. 5 block shots, played very, very well heads-up hockey. Speaking of block shots, Spurgeon had 7 of them. I mean, the guy was just a freaking wall. I think he had more saves than Harding did.
Yeah.
Than what Harding had the first period. I mean, it's just insane.
And I know he had a good one where it was basically around in the crease and he just dumped it out.
How many block shots did he have?
He had 7. And I think Harding had six
in the during the first period. So, yeah.
I'd also say that Scandell actually had a really good game as well. I mean, really, aside from my favorite D-man, I thought all the defensemen were actually spot on, really played a really
good
game.
No, they were. There was a little worry because Stoner took a bad hit early in the game, and I think he was out for most of the first period. He ended up coming back in, though, playing it off.
He didn't take quite as bad of a hit as Zucker. I thought Zucker took quite a few hits.
The high stick that.
Yeah,
Zucker took that high.
Zucker
stick.
Had one nice hard.
I know. He's checking his teeth. You know,
but he got high stuck twice. What's the plural of high sticking?
two high stickings,
multiple high sticks.
Okay, high there sticks. We go. Whichever one you prefer to say it as. But I thought he had 2 different ones. One of them where he did end up getting the blood, but I could be wrong on that.
It looked like there was, but I don't know that it ever happened. You know, his nose was red. You could tell that.
Yeah, I could have swore I saw blood, but the trainer on the bench was checking his teeth to see.
Yeah, because he had a high sticking against him in the third period, and then one right at the beginning, or not at the beginning of the overtime, but halfway into the overtime period, he had a second one again right away.
Hockey is so violent and dangerous.
And I'll say that overall the reffing wasn't horrible.
No, it's actually much better compared to a lot of the issues.
I know they gave a phantom call to the Wild at least once, but then they also
was the very first penalty.
But then they also missed a call that the Wild should have been called for. So I mean, it's hard to get too wound up about one missed call when we had one balancing it out. So
well, and then there's also that goal that got the puck was whistled dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure that out.
It was Spurgeon had it landed on top of the puck without meaning to in front of the crease.
Right. Oh, that one. Yeah. I thought you meant the one where Zucker had the breakaway and the puck after he tripped over Crawford.
Well, I think they play off each other because I think in both cases they blew it dead way too quick.
Yeah.
I think the Wild really got lucky on that one because the Wild one would have led to a goal, obviously, and then the one where Zucker, where he basically got tripped up by
Crawford.
But
the puck went into the corner, and they blew it dead, that's what I didn't understand.
But it probably wouldn't have led to a goal like the Minnesota one, so I think we dodged a bullet there.
Definitely.
Yeah. And it was just interesting to see him whistle it dead as they were going, okay, Spurgeon, you can't be on the puck in front, you're outside of the crease, you're not the goalie, you... Get off the puck.
By blocking the net, I really think you helped your team.
Of course, it ended up drifting perfectly into the 5-hole, but it had already been whistled dead. Once Bertrand had got off of it, they whistled it dead since everybody was too busy not moving it because pretty much everybody's stick was right there holding it in place, trying to knock it around.
And, I mean, you can't really blame them. I mean, I understand why they blew it. But at the same point,
I would have been pretty ticked off as a Blackhawks fan, to be quite honest.
Hell, they still won.
They did.
They did still win. So a few minutes later.
So, I mean, to say the least, that didn't factor into whether or not they won or lost. I mean, it was a non-point, really, at the end of the game.
So, Aaron, you and I were live tweeting that game as we were watching it.
Yeah.
I think we've got a couple of good zingers in there.
There's some good ones.
I know.
Oh, nerds!
That one's going to get a lot of mileage, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you reckon? Someone just got rupped up. That nice hit from Rupp going up the boards.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Rupp. I gotta say, I'm loving his facial hair right now for the playoffs.
Oh, absolutely.
His friendly mutton chops with the connected by a mustache.
Nice. He's doing the full handlebar.
No.
Like,
no.
I missed it. Yeah, mutton chops connected by the mustache.
Yes.
So he's got the full handlebar, and then
the mutton chops.
Yep. Or what we found online was called the friendly mutton chops.
The friendly. Okay.
Yeah.
So nice. Yeah, Rupp had a pretty good game last night. I liked the way the fourth line was playing, and I know I had mentioned it to you last night when we were watching the game that about middle of the second period where we didn't see much of the fourth, and the Wild started getting kind of outskated and out hit a little bit.
Yeah.
And as I literally, like 30 seconds after I said, where is this fourth line? Yo has him on the ice. And that kind of slowed the pace of the game back down. At least, you know.
Right. Because that's the one thing that, and I know I mentioned it, is that the Wild aren't going to win a foot race with the Blackhawks.
No. You don't show up to a track meet with the Blackhawks. You're going to lose.
And at points last night, it looked like that. I mean, it was just back and forth and back and forth. And it's like, the Wild are going to wear themselves out, and the Blackhawks are going to be scoring all night if they don't slow this thing down a bit. And that's about when Yo sent out the fourth line and, equalized things.
Well, and the other thing to have been brought up is Pierre-Marc Bouchard, obviously, has speed, has the hands, but he's kind of a smaller guy comparatively.
He won't take a hit. He won't deliver a hit.
He'll take a hit. But he's not going to win the battle. He took a lot of hits in the corners last night when he'd go in to grab the puck. He just could not fight for the puck the way
he never does.
Because of his size, he couldn't. Never does. He physically can't reach that far.
That's baloney. Look at Spurgeon. Spurgeon's probably about the same size.
Yeah, I think Spurgeon might be a little smaller.
Right.
And with a much longer stick as well.
Yeah.
He's using a defenseman's stick, not a winger stick.
I don't buy it. That's making excuses for PMB, and I think PMB he's never been a strong guy, and
no,
he's an ass. He's a liability when you're trying to play, fight down the board hockey. You know?
Yeah, and he's great at speed. He's got good hands, but he hasn't quite got the sniping ability he had prior to his concussion.
I think his concussions have actually really just set his game back. He's not the player he was. It seems like he's timid. He will skate out of a hit, and basically play will fall apart because will not stay in there and take a hit if he needs to.
I personally haven't noticed that as much.
I've noticed that.
Fair enough.
Personally speaking.
But we agree to disagree on that point, yeah. But... it's about the only one who would keep up in a foot race, though.
Zucker.
Point. Oh, Zucker?
Zucker.
Yep.
Zucker's got some wheels on him.
Yep. Koivu obviously can put some wheels on.
I think Koivu and Coyle are both the same way. They can get some speed, but they're still a little too big to get real quality speed like Zucker.
They don't quite have the giddy-up sticks,
right,
as it were.
No.
And I think Scandella actually has some wheels, too. Yeah. So I know there's a couple offensive drives that he was leading down into the corners. Surprisingly, considering he's a D-man. So,
speaking of hits, did you guys happen to see when two Blackhawks went to go sandwich Suter in the corner, and the only people on the ice were the two Blackhawks?
It was a pretty good one.
That was pretty funny.
And there's another hit with Clutterbuck.
No, Setoguchi.
Oh yeah, Setoguchi.
Setoguchi.
Yeah, that's right.
Took out a Blackhawk behind the net, and they literally both did.
Limbs akimbo, it was
limbs flapping in the air. They both ended up on the same position facing each other on the ice. It's almost like they wanted to give each other a smooch.
Oh, wow. Nice. Now, I didn't remember that one quite as well.
So, but, yeah.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about on that game?
I think we beat this one.
Something about some books.
Nope.
Oh, yeah, some books, yeah.
So, Kenny, do you want to fill people in on your theory here?
About books?
About
and
books.
Literature.
In literature. Yeah.
Nerds!
The one ice girl that they showed in OT had some nice books on her. You can probably find them in the D section.
D, or was it upper deck, like double D?
It might have been upper deck.
Don't you know the Dewey Decimal System?
All right.
Yeah. Let's just say the assets on her were very TV friendly.
But your theory was that was the distraction that caused the wild loss.
Yes, because she went skating by about a minute before the Chicago goal. So I swear they sent
right
her
in front
out
of the
there,
bench, of course.
Probably that they sent her out to distract the Wild, and that's where that last goal came in.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
So with that,
then today
we got to thank our sponsor. Done.
Okay.
And, so if any of you would like to sponsor us, your ad could be there.
Exactly. Please get back to us and tell us how much money you will give us to put your ad there. We'll negotiate from there. Let's see. Today, May 1st, Darcy Kuemper got called back up, obviously, to help back up Harding while Backstrom is injured.
Yeah, because we still don't know. It's not clear how long or if he'll even be out the next game. They went really, it's the classic lower body injury with no real details on what happened or what actually injured him. So.
Yep. That also leads us up to our last week's predictions and our series predictions.
Da-da-da-da-da!
Oh, there we go. Producer's asleep at the helm. Jive? Are you there, Jive?
It's me, Margaret. What?
All right, so over to Aaron.
Yeah, we're in rare form tonight.
Good God.
So last week's picks, as we know, the Wild lost the first game, won the second one. The only one to pick it right was Josh, who getting 2 points on the week. Both myself and Kenny went with a win-win sweep, and we get a split 1-1. And the ultimate loser for the week is Jive, going with a win-loss.
You are one pathetic loser.
He goes 0-2 for the week.
You know, Josh, I got to say, man, your sarcasm saying, no, I'm going to take the loss to Edmonton just because they're so horrible. Yeah, nice. You know, I'm blaming you for their loss.
It was more the fact of people discussing that the Wild were doing good against good teams and bad against bad teams. And I'm not saying Edmonton's bad. They're actually better than they have been in a while. But, yeah. And go ahead and blame me for it, but what did I have to do with it?
I don't know. Apparently what you said happened.
They listened to our show, dude. You've jinxed it.
Son of a...
So to preface before we do our series picks, I would like to at least say that, yes, one game has happened. We had all got together previous to the series starting to pick...
Via the interwebs
to pick our games, so...
So these picks are made without the knowledge of what happened last night.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and yeah, we did pick for the series, so we're not going to do individual game picks right now. So, Aaron, you're first on the list.
Yeah, and I think my prediction is feeling pretty good. I went with the Blackhawks in five. I think the Wild are going to have a tough time. I think they're all going to be really close games. And actually, I know I was talking to Kenny before the game yesterday. I was like, I'm thinking there's going to be at least a couple overtime games, and I think all but one of the games are going to be one-point games. And, of course, we had a one-point overtime game. So,
since I bet on the other team, we won't be going for pizza.
Okay, Kenny, what are you thinking for the series?
You know, I think it's going to be a very tight series with all the games also. I've got the Wild in seven. I know that seventh game is going to be tough to win on the road, but we're also talking about not this particular team, but the Wild have done it before.
Yeah.
Where they have come from behind.
And like I was looking up, how the Wild have done under Yo, and not including last night's game. The Wild have won 3 out of 7 games against the Blackhawks over the last 2 years. So pretty good. 4 of those 7 games have won 2 overtime. So there's a lot of close games. I have a feeling we're going to have much of the same in the series.
You know, it's playoff hockey. So by the time Game 7 comes around, these teams are going to know each other. They're going to know a lot more. You're going to have a lot more emotion riding on these games. I think the Wild just need to, like you were saying earlier, Aaron, not try to make this a foot race between the two teams because they're going to lose that way.
Yeah.
What they need to do is they need to play them physically. because they do have that grit. I mean, they got a ton of grit on that team, especially with when you get that fourth line.
Oh, fourth line. You got Clutterbuck. You got Setoguchi is showing that.
Setoguchi is throwing out some.
And we know dishes. That. And we know that Coyle, Koivu, and Parisi all can get physical. I know Parisi laid him out a couple times last night.
Oh, Parisi was getting in there. I mean, he always does, but
yeah.
He was definitely getting dirty.
Parisi, I got to say, I actually felt like he was intimidated. He didn't look like Parisi out there. He looked...
Maybe it's because he's not growing a playoff beard.
I don't know. Just his skating, everything. Maybe there was too little wind resistance on his face to give him the... I thought he looked intimidated.
I disagree. I don't know. He seemed like he was in there and in on plays. I don't really see what he was not doing. Well,
and
I guess.
Apparently in on plays that was helped with by the Blackhawks, like going into Crawford.
Yeah.
That was another thing that we didn't talk about for one of the other bogus calls.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that in a second. So, Jive.
How
you feeling about your playoff pick? What did you say?
Let's just say it like this.
Since I bet on the other team, we won't be going for pizza.
But how many games do you think the Wild are going to take them since you're picking the Hawks?
And I'm taking the Hawks in six. I think the Wild, you know, just like you guys have been talking about, it's going to be close. And the Wild are going to, you know, just basically fall short a couple times. And, you know, it's a sad reality, basically. But, hey.
We'd be more than happy to be proven wrong.
Most definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's not being called into question.
Josh, what do you got?
I've got the Wild in six. I'm saying the Wild in six. I don't think they're going to – well, I'm hoping they don't take it to seven just because I don't want them to be that dead on their feet for the next series.
Right.
But and, yeah, it's going to be close. I do predict there to be at least one surprise blowout.
And that's where I was going. I know there's going to be one game where it's just going to be lopsided.
Yeah.
But they've been, you know, for whatever reason, even though the Blackhawks are lights out, the Wild play them close. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
I think they need to increase their physical play and slow the game down with the fourth line and the second line more.
But. Yeah, no, definitely. I do think that the blowout game will be one of the win or go home type games where you start getting blown out and all of a sudden the end of the game comes and you just basically give up at that point.
No, I think it'll be the Wild actually doing it to them at some point. I think
for some reason, even though
Chicago's
team.
Got more shooters, I think the Wild will actually own the blowout game out of the series.
Yeah, I didn't say what team. I just think it's going to be.
I think that's the hinging on our differences on how the series is going to turn out because I think it's going to go the blow is going to go on the Blackhawks side.
Fair enough. Okay, so we got three games before our next episode that we'll be doing
away, home, and home. I believe.
Yep, we got away on Friday. We'll be still at United Center on Friday. For game two, and then we'll be back at the X for games three and four, Sunday and Tuesday, respectively. We'll keep covering. Now, what do you guys think they need to do to win those games?
We've already said a lot of it, but we have
covered most of it.
Anything else you want to add?
They need Pominville. I want to say that.
Absolutely. They need to also make sure I have a lot of faith in Harding. However, if Harding starts to not feel right, I don't know how much faith I have in Kemper right now.
Part of that, I think, I got to blame Yo on because he didn't utilize Kemper in the NHL field at all and should have just given him a nod of the hat to let him start and play a couple more games to get a little more familiar with it. The
difference between NHL and Backstrom.
And to rest Backstrom so that he wouldn't pull a muscle in warm-ups.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe let in three goals out of five shots. You gotta
wonder how much that regular season has really contributed to that pregame injury.
Yeah, because Backstrom was used to running under the old two-goalie system, stepped up to the plate on being more on a one-goalie system, but he always had Harding back there, and there was never a question of whether to start Harding until the MS came up.
Not stand up. Tell you what, get some rope.
I think Backstrom, if I remember correctly, he started 78% of the games this season, or played in 78% of the games. That's more than his career average by far, and the highest percentage of his career.
Well, what is that, like 30-some games?
For this season? Well, it's going to be, 30-something. Yeah. So, I mean, he played a lot of games, more than he's used to.
And that's also 30-some games with a half a season, so you're doubling up the approximately doubling up the amount of games you're playing.
Fewer off days and stuff.
Fewer off days, more back-to-backs.
Yeah, so, I mean, that you got to figure that did a toll on him because, I mean, he's used to splitting that time with someone.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was just that.
Well, what about the, you know, the other teams, though? I mean, you can always use a short season excuse. I mean,
that's true.
Everybody's got to play.
Yeah, but the other teams were smart and played other goalies.
I did see a lot more.
Look at Chicago. They split it between Emery and Crawford.
Yeah.
And
Emery's out right now.
Emery is out right now, yeah.
I think I saw more often than not teams utilizing a two-goalie system this year more so than previous years.
Well, and most of the league is going towards that at this point. Most of the teams in the league are moving towards that, and you're not seeing as many of the old-schoolers, as it were. All the old-schoolers are starting. Anybody that was a single-goalie team, that goalie is getting a little too old.
Broder.
They're on the...
Yeah.
Kiprasov.
Yep.
Drop it like it's hot. Crack it like it's hot. Luongo,
yeah.
Yeah.
Use your big boy words.
The teams that were single goalie teams and that knew they had the goalie that could handle it, those goalies are still good, but they're not able to handle it every day anymore like they had grown up doing.
This is kind of a turning of the tables for the Wild right now, because up until now, they've basically been running a two-goalie system.
Yeah.
And this year, the year that they should be running a two-goalie system, they were pretty much down to a one-goalie system.
And on top of that, it's the first time where we're not looking at the Wild selling their goalies to try and get players.
Right.
Because we were known as a goalie farm.
And we don't have many left to sell.
Oh, we did sell. We did sell Hackett, though.
Yeah, Hackett's gone.
That was early in the season, correct?
No.
That's how we got Palma.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So we're still a goalie factory, but
not like we were.
But if you get Palmaville for it, hey, why not?
Yeah.
Well,
and we've still got other.
You're only making my argument for should have brought Hackett up and had him starting at least a quarter, if not half the games.
Yeah, it's a tough call.
It's a tough call when you're winning games, though, too.
Yeah, well, look at the last 2 weeks of the season.
This is true.
Yeah, that would have been prime time.
Hockey has its own science and strategy. For every play, there's a counterplay.
Well.
Yeah,
I think we've reached our time. We got the three games coming up. It'll be fun. We'll be back next Wednesday. Same bad time, same bad channel. All that fun shenanigans. Let's see. Everybody want to say goodnight and make sure that you let people know how to follow you.
Yes, you can go to that Twitter place and you can follow me. I'm at AaronGNP. And you can check out my band, pinrot.com. Thank you.
Hey, Kenny, you want to make sure that your stalkers can find you?
Absolutely. But I think they should also be following us, Three in the Box, on Twitter. We've been trying to do live tweets during games, get some, not so much play-by-play, but more so some random banters, some retweets, and...
random complaints about...
certain players.
Certain players, and or the horrible commercials that Fox Sports North plays.
Oh, good God.
Or ironically.
But if you want to follow me personally, you can find me at RottenK999.
All right, Jive.
Yeah, and you can follow me, because I'm following these guys at Jive Midnight on Twitter. Thanks.
All right, lovely. And this is the Meat Beast. You can find me here, of course, on Three in the Box and also over at Cyanet Radio, DJing over there and doing the Clubhouse show on Tuesday nights. So thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week.
Hello.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.